If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
So I must tell you, earlier this morning, I had a few colleagues say to me, how do I buy the shares? And I was like, hold on, guys. I'm not the investment expert on this, though my knowledge has depth. I can't offer investment advice. But someone who can guide us, again, just in terms of the considerations we need to be mindful of, is Simon Brown of Just One Lab, who's going to give us some clarity and perspective on this particular case, especially given that many of us as South Africans have become a lot more familiar with these brands that are looking to be unbundled and essentially list on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. But you might have heard a voice note we had from one of our listeners earlier on who was saying, the earlier the better. I want to buy this share. Is it really always the case? And today, to give us some insight into unbundlings, buying into new listings, if they are profitable, and if getting in early really makes a difference, as mentioned, founder of Just One Lab, Simon Brown, joins us now for this conversation. Simon, always good to speak to you, sir.
It's always my pleasure.
Fantastic. I must say, I read your tweet and article earlier on today where you, I guess, heightened a level of caution that we as retail investors need to view the excitement around new listings of this nature. And maybe talk us through that, because sometimes we typically go according to our proximity to the brand versus the necessary investment research that we need to be mindful of.
Absolutely. I mean, your previous guest absolutely mentioned that, and it's completely true. It's a brand we know. You know, if I mention a company like, Richmond, BHP, Billiton, these are big companies in our market. You don't know them. You don't engage with them. Well, you know, they're not brands we know. And then we buy cars comes, and this is, you know, we hear the adverts on the radio. We've seen the cars. We maybe have friends or even ourselves have experienced it, and that does excite us. It means, you know, and that is part of investing. You know, I shop a lot at a shop route, I'm walking through the store, and I'm like, it does something. It is tangible, and that is real. But that doesn't necessarily always make a good investment. And that's the key point that you're making here, is that we need to invest in trying to remove those emotions. And it's very easy for me to sit here on a Thursday evening and say that. I appreciate it's a lot harder to do. We need to try and remove those emotions and say, is this a good business? Is this a business that you know, if our friend came to us and said he's got this business, would we consider it? We've got to give it more than just it's a brand that we know and a brand that is tangible to us.
So is WeBuyCars a stock that we should consider? And maybe talk us through some of the research and technical metrics that an investment professional like yourself looks at.
Yeah, so is it one that you should consider? I think it absolutely is. And there are a couple of things. So it's secondhand cars, of course. We know about that. There are other other car dealers on the market, Motors and Combined Motor Holdings, most notably. And they also, I mean, for them, secondhand dealership is a small part. They've also got rentals. And of course, they've got new car sales at the same time. We've also got Zeta, who's Avis, who also got a small bit of secondhand cars. This is a pure secondhand car play. And I like that purity of it, the sense that it does one, that's all it does. The trick is, what's the story then for secondhand cars? Well, typically, it's fairly good. Many people want a car. Not everyone can afford a new one. Not everyone wants the expense of a new car and would rather buy a secondhand car market. It's a well-established market. And what they've managed to do is to try and remove some of the sketchiness around the edges. I've bought secondhand cars, and you often have to go to less desirable parts of town and to strange parking lots. So we all know the story. And they've made this a whole lot better. They've made it a more seamless and painless process. They've made it a process where you're less worried that you're being ripped off or something like that. And that's really, really good. Trick is, of course, and we've spoken, you and I, a lot around this over the last year or so, the consumer's under pressure.
Yes.
They're buying less new cars. They're also probably buying less secondhand cars, because cars are one of those weird things that, you know, it's not like your Marmite, which when it runs out, you need to buy more Marmite. Your car can, in many cases, go another year or two. So there is soft consumer demand. The big story, perhaps, for WeBuyCars, to finish off quick, is that they are saying they're going to get market share gain. So not that they're going to necessarily grow the market, but that they can get market share from other people in the market. And I think they're right about that. To my earlier point around the experience of secondhand cars, they can make it better. They can get market share at the expense of the mom-and-pop secondhand car dealers.
Mm. And I'm glad that you've made it us understand it so easily without getting into too much of the technicalities around the P.E. ratio, the dividend yield, and just how strong their balance sheet is in terms of the resilience going forward. But those are important aspects that we should be mindful of, and I'm assuming as retail investors following through in terms of asking those questions. And maybe this positions us well enough to actually look at examples of previous unbundlings and listings that have taken place on the JSE that typically did not do well, and I guess goes against the common understanding that you need to get in early in order to see the share price rally.
I think you're right, and I think there's also, if we step back and say, why are these companies unbundled? And Transaction Capital wasn't a listing. In other words, it didn't, as a business, approach the market and say we wish to raise fresh capital. This was their existing owner, Transaction Capital, saying we want to list this in the market. We've got an asset. In essence, we are selling it. We should always ask the question of why is somebody else selling it. That's an important question in of itself. But we have had, I mentioned Zeta a moment ago, which got spun out. And that was, it's done poorly. I think it's a nice business. I'm very interested in it. It's one I keep a close eye on. But it hasn't done much in terms of price action. It's just been weak. The market hasn't taken well to it. You do often see that in the early days of a listing, because of an unbundling, rather. Some people receive the shares. You know, someone held Transaction Capital yesterday and asked, we buy cars. And they're like, I don't want to be buy cars. So there's initial selling pressure. Can the buying enthusiasm overwhelm it? Today it did. We buy cars closed up quite nicely. Mm-hmm. So there certainly was momentum behind it in that regard. But they often don't work. The poster child for, of course, the one that did work was Thungela. Which, yes, on its first day was trading, mid-high 20s, probably got to 300 grand and probably paid 150 or 200 grand in dividends. Mm. But that is the standout for it. That's not the norm. That was the exception.
100%. I'm glad you mentioned that. And even companies like Capitec took a while as well before they, following the unbundling from PSG, actually continued to rally significantly. And I guess that's the lesson here, Simon, that there's, I guess, a dime a dozen and opportunities that might exist. But we do need to fully comprehend not only the macroeconomic environment that these businesses operate in, but the operational efficiencies that the businesses themselves have that can drive profitability.
Absolutely. And operational efficiency is an excellent point that you raise. If they can raise their market share from about a current, I think it's about 13%, up to a target 24% over the next 5 years, that adds a lot of extra revenue, of course. But because of the way that they operate, in other words, they are buying cars to sell cars, it also adds a lot of extra cost. But they can get some efficiencies into the operation, particularly the head office level, particularly marketing. You know, they play an advert on your radio station. If they get more bang for buck to that advert, so they can get some efficiencies, but not to the level that Advertech can, for example. Where, and we chatted about this, Advertech adds an extra student into a classroom, their income immediately increases by the fee. But their cost doesn't change. The classroom was already there. They already had a teacher and all of that sort of thing. So that's really strong operational leverage. Yeah, the extra income has got significant extra costs as well at the same time. And they certainly can get efficiencies. That's absolutely. But I think it's the point, and you mentioned Capitec. Yeah, this is not the market is not. I mean, there's no get-rich-quick schemes. If this is going to play out and do well, it's going to happen over a couple of years.
100%. We've actually gotten a lot of feedback on this particular conversation here, Simon, and I do believe this We Buy Cars case does help as a case study to educate a lot of us as South Africans when it comes to understanding the journey of listed companies. This is a voice note we have from one of our listeners, Sammy, and I'm hoping that you might be able to assist us with the response. Let's listen in.
Sure.
Good evening, Gugu. This is Sammy. Can you please ask your guest from the stock exchange, what does it take for a company to register on the stock exchange? What are the steps? That's what I thought you was going to talk about it, as to what are the steps to the steps to list on the stock exchange. What is it that is exactly required? Like, we need the specifics.
Oh, okay. Very valid point there from Sammy. And I guess this was better suited for Sam from the JSE. And we did present this question to him, but gave us a broad overview. But Simon, just from your knowledge, do you understand and can you share some of the intricacies that might be involved in preparing companies for listings?
Absolutely. I think it's a brilliant question. In one part, it's very easy, but of course it's process, and that is regulations and documentation. So, for example, you need to obviously be a company. If you want to list in the main board, you need a certain number of years of audited financial results. You don't need to be profitable. That's very interesting. You do not need to be making a profit. You do need to have a certain size of listing and a certain number of shareholders. You then need to obviously have a board that's been constituted, as I said, financial results. And then there are fees to pay both to the JSE, and of course there will be advisors, lawyers and the like who've also worked with you in the process. Mm-hmm. There will be those fees as well. But truthfully, for all the arguments around there's too much red tape for the JSE, I don't agree with that completely. I think a lot of what you need to be listed in the JSE is just good admin from a company. Mm. You know, having a strong board with independent directors who've got less than 10 years of serving and having the right board committees, audited financial results, all of those should be any company, whether it's, you know, a hot dog stand that you and I own at the park, or whether it's a company that's coming to list on the JSE. It's around record keeping, so you obviously need that. And then there are fees, and then there are, in terms of disclosures you need to make, and then, of course, results come every 6 months, and you know, you want to chat with them on the show, and they've suddenly got to go and talk, and that's sure. Great in the good days, not so much fun in the bad days. But the actual process of it is not that difficult. The hard part, perhaps, is that you need to come with a certain number of shareholders. I forget the exact number. It's a couple of hundred or maybe 1,000 or 2, which means you need to be able to sell shares to the public at this point in time. So it's that, you know, standing up and saying, I've got this business, would you give me some money? Mm. And that's where the investment bankers and the like come in. But that is perhaps, the really hard part of it. Otherwise, it's just good record keeping and then some processes, forms, and some fee. I think it's $75,000 to list a small company on the JSE. Oh, not wow. A vast amount of money.
Yeah. Got you. And that's really important, just for us to note in terms of the administration, that does need to be taken care of. Simon, I'm going to close it off with an unfair question, but one that all of my listeners will be asking. At the end of the day, should we buy cars, or how should we trade as retail investors, considering that the share price, I understand, listed at 18, but at the close of the market today, trading at 20.37?
Yeah, so it's an easy answer. It's not an unfair question whatsoever. I'm not buying it, but I'm watching it very closely. It's a sector I intuitively like. I own Combined Motor Holdings. I've always watched motors. Planet Earth moves on motor vehicles, and there's a good case to be said for secondhand motor vehicles. It might be tough now. Let's see how they can do. It's certainly, as I say, one I'm watching. I'm watching Zeta as well. Yes. But we buy cars is one I'm very interested in. What I'm going to wait for, and this, you know, means I might pay a higher price at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. I want to see a first set of published results. Let's get some numbers on the board. Let's start to get a sense for this business. Because, you know, if it's one worth buying, you're prepared to hold it for years, a decade, maybe, you know, however long. I'm happy to wait a couple of months, maybe 6 months, and get a sense of what the market's responding to it, what the results look like. But I'm definitely keeping a close eye.
100%. Simon, this is why we love you. Always helping us and guiding us as a retail investors to understand the nuances of what can seem so technical, but truth be told, is easy for us to all understand once we take a keen interest. Thank you again for your time this evening, Simon. Truly appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Always my pleasure.
Oh, thank you so much. That's Simon Brown, founder of Just One Lap. And as you've heard, we buy cars, not buying it just yet, but he is watching it. He is certainly looking forward to the first set of financial results. And granted, like any company, that should form the basis of your investment decisions. So to many of you as our listeners who are familiar with the brand, who have sent through your questions, whether to buy or not buy, we buy cars. Well, of course, speak to an investment professional, understand the technicalities that might be involved, that can can contribute to the business's profitability and operational efficiency. And then, of course, like any other investment decision, determine the risk versus the reward and follow through with the decision that you take. But that's what we're here for, to help you understand the full lay of the landscape and the ecosystem. And that's exactly what we've done in this conversation over the last 50 minutes. We took you on a journey in understanding the actual business itself, where it started from, and how it's actually found itself in this position to be listed 20 years later after being founded. We also gave you some perspective on understanding the journey to preparedness for it to become a listed entity on our local bourse. And of course, giving us some context for ourselves as retail investors into some of the nuances that we need to be mindful of when it comes to unbundlings of companies, their IPOs, and of course, where opportunities might lie, but also where we need to be mindful of a potential lack of performance. So it's really been a 101 on understanding listed companies, their potential, and the investment opportunities that they do present.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.